Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
Business owners can count on McCausland Lock and Alarm to secure and control access to their facilities. Featuring top-of-the-line equipment, industry-leading customer service, and owner Tom McCausland's wealth of experience. McCausland Lock and Alarm, securing your business, securing your future. As we continue, what's on the cut sheet, part 32?
What's on the cut sheet, part 32, excuse me, sponsored by Budget Blinds. It's fall, y'all. Boy, I really hate when copy people try and be witty and
yes.
copy points.
Yes.
It's fall, y'all. Hey, can I just say I'm a member or I'm a customer of Budget Blinds, and
they do
a great job, so you should definitely use them. Budget Blinds is your one-stop shop for blind shade, shutters, custom drapery, and motorization. Visit budgetblinds.com for a free in-home consultation and the only no-questions-asked warranty in the biz. When you schedule your consultation, ask about their special radio offer. That's right. That's what I did. Their special radio offer. Tell them you heard about it right here.
By the way, second y'all of the day.
Yeah.
I think Dawn dropped the y'all earlier.
She did.
Sean Ferris, have you adopted the Nashville Mid-South y'all that people like to use in their vernacular?
We're getting there.
Yeah.
But I still enjoy when I go into, you know, a location anywhere in Tennessee and I ask for water and they go, well, where are you from?
And then Sean says,
have you no empathy, man?
by the way, Sean, if you're gonna be in Philly for the next 2 days, you got to say water.
Water.
That's never going to happen. And by the way, I'm not calling them hoagies.
Oh.
Just not doing it.
What do you call them?
Yeah, heroes.
Heroes.
Yeah, you know, like Superman, Batman. It's a cool thing. A hoagie, what the hell is that? That's the monster under the bed. You know?
It does sound like some fat, sweaty man's armpit.
It does.
Cheese, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Have you ever been to a Wawa?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I was going to say, we should give you the tour today.
I love Wawa.
Yeah.
All right, let's do MSNBC and Philadelphia voters. Alex Wagner went out to talk to Philadelphia voters, African-American, I believe. This is cut two, Phil. Let me make sure I have your pot up there. Cut two, Phil, go.
I agree with the idea of mass deportation, largely. You have criminals in this country who are destroying our nation. They're coming in here, getting earmarked bills and policies to open up businesses, get free housing, get access, easier access than those who are legally immigrated to this country to welfare and other benefits. So, like, as a taxpayer, we have to pay for these guys to have luxuries of life, and we don't get anything, especially Black Americans who've suffered so much in the system under Democrats. We don't get anything. That's insane. You talk about Springfield, Ohio, and the whole thing with the fluff talk of, oh, grabbing a soundbite about Haitians or whatever is eating cats and dogs. Y'all trying to change the narrative of what he's really talking about.
Yep.
Change the narrative of really what we're talking about.
Right,
and telling us, that's what we should be discussing. No, this here, this is what we're discussing. This here, this is America. And this is what America is about and what we're discussing.
So,
wow.
Because I'm told I have to play by the left's rules. So does that make that individual racist then?
Yes.
Okay, I'm just trying to keep up with the way you know.
And Hitler too.
Because if I say it, I'm racist. You know, I'm wondering if that individual says it, if he's racist or if he's just got it all figured out.
Yeah, he's also he's definitely a Nazi, a threat to democracy. And now I think that was on MSNBC. Greg, that was on MSNBC, right?
Yes, sir.
There was a disclaimer that they played before that.
Uh oh.
That they said, well, just so, you know what you're about to see.
What you're about to
I'm
say.
I'm paraphrasing, but this is what they were trying to say. This is not a representation of Black voters in Philadelphia as a whole. This
wow.
is just what we found.
Wow.
It's like that, I'm paraphrasing. That's not word for word what she said.
Right.
But they played this. I saw this this clip on social media, and there was a disclaimer that they had to put in there to say,
right.
like, you know, these Black guys aren't all the rest of the Black guys.
Yeah.
What if they are, though?
Yeah.
Like, what if they are? Well, maybe is it because...
Warning, what you're about to see could be considered,
yeah.
like they're cutting somebody's leg off on like a, you know, a doctor show. That's cool. Like,
it's
gory content.
It's like in the 80s, those sitcoms used to have a very special episode. This is a very special episode. It does not represent all the points of view of all Black Americans
oh my
in
God.
Philadelphia.
90s.
Yeah. That was that clip. It happened on MSNBC, and they aired that little disclaimer that said, you know, we spoke to black voters in Philadelphia, but this does not represent all black voters in Philadelphia.
I can't imagine what, like, a 59-year-old white liberal woman in Newtown was thinking as she saw that clip on MSNBC last night. She probably threw herself a hissy fit in her bedroom.
I like that you use Newtown, too.
That's my official go-to. I think I got that from you, actually, I think.
New Hope?
New Hope.
New Hope. Radnor. Bryn Mawr. Cut 23 here. How did Philadelphia black men feel about Barack Obama telling them that they better vote for Kamala? Cut 23, Phil, go.
And I just wonder for anybody who heard that, like what they thought of that.
I was deeply offended. And it felt like a moment where it's like, you N-words better get in line.
Wow.
And do what we say. And it felt like him as the czar of the Democratic Party coming down to say, go get these N-words in line. And the general tone of it was disgusting. It was abhorrent. I don't respect it. I didn't like nothing about it. And Kamala, 2 days after that, is like, we love our black men. We have programs and things that we're rolling out for them, and she rolled out policy.
Good cop, bad cop. You know, because
I'm tired of the good cop, bad cop. I'm tired of it.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's definitely a segment of the black population that is offended by the fact that you just assume that every black person listens to everything Obama says as gospel and marches to that beat. It was bad enough that Obama did it, and Stephen A. Smith, of all people, from ESPN, came out and lambasted him for speaking down, saying, don't say it's misogyny if, you know, this is Stephen A.'s words, if the brothers don't want to vote for Kamala, did you ever think that it's not misogyny, that it's policy? That they don't like her policy. It has nothing to do with her sex, her race, her gender, right, or anything like that. And now, to double down on this, Spike Lee has been back on the trail. They brought Spike Lee back.
The Knicks guy,
film director, the whole bit. And he's out there lecturing black men that they need to get on board with Kamala Harris. That's really embarrassing that they had to go to Spike Lee at this point.
That's ridiculous. Yeah. There are a lot of people who don't even know who he is,
right,
or know him as the Knicks guy.
Right, right.
You know, the guy who wears the weird glasses.
Yep. Sits courtside. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's go back. I have a few more from the Kamala Harris town hall last night on CNN for those late risers. 9:10. If you're just joining us, where the hell have you been?
Good God. We start at 6 a.m.
Thank you, Phil, of course. A member, I guess that's what you call the town hall attendee, asked about packing the Supreme Court, and she did her, we can study it.
Okay.
Which means I'm not actually going to do anything, or I don't want to say I'm going to do it in public.
Right.
That's the what we'll study it means. Cut 20. Cut 20, Phil, go.
I appreciate that you did acknowledge that we are a country that is faced with problems and issues. With the Supreme Court being plagued with issues, would you be in favor of expanding the court to, say, 12, so each justice has only one circuit court other than Chief Justice to assist in making judgments more balanced?
Well, to your point, there is no question that the American people increasingly are losing confidence in the Supreme Court. And in large part because of the behavior of certain members of that court and because of certain rulings, including the Dobbs decision and taking away a precedent that had been in place for 50 years, protecting a woman's right to make decisions about her own body. So I do believe that there should be some kind of reform of the court, and we can study what that actually looks like. But I do believe. But again, let's just, while you raise the point of the court, understand that, again, in 13 days, the American people will decide who is the next president of the United States. In 13 days, you will decide who is sitting in the Oval Office on January 20th. Yep. And on one hand, you have in Donald Trump someone who has increasingly proved himself to be unstable, and who, as we have established and the people close to him have established, he is unfit to serve. Somebody who, on January 20th, you can be sure, will spend full time, like we know, and we've seen the image mentally of him sitting in the dining room off of the Oval Office, watching for hours as people violently attack the Capitol. You can be sure, because he has said he would weaponize the Department of Justice to go after his political enemies, that you can look at a Donald Trump in the White House after January 20th, sitting in that Oval Office, plotting his revenge. He has talked about the enemies within. We haven't even raised that subject, Anderson.
Anderson?
The enemy's within. He's talking about the American people.
Yeah, he's going to put you in a cage.
He's talking about journalists, judges, nonpartisan election officials.
He's going to take Rachel Maddow off the air.
He's talked about, as John Kelly has talked about, can he send the military after peaceful protesters?
The butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker.
And he's going to sit there unstable, unhinged, plotting his revenge, plotting his retribution, creating an enemies list. I'm going to tell you, my list will be a list of how I address and continue to address the issues that you all are raising this afternoon and evening. It will be a to-do list about how we can impact the American people and lift up the American people and address some of the challenges that we continue to face.
I want to get
whatever list she's handed will be handed to her from the same people that are running the country right now, because it's not her or Joe. But, you know, when we talked about the clip with the border, she loved to bring up her days as an attorney general or a prosecutor, her law background, right? Wouldn't this have been the more applicable setting for her to talk about law, since the question originally was not about Donald Trump?
There was a question,
but it was about the Supreme Court. I don't know. She's a lawyer. I would think she would have something to say about the highest court of the land. And she's like, I can study it. I'll get back to you later. Let me get back to bashing Donald Trump. It's a terrible. It's the strategy behind, like, I don't know, maybe TDS and abortion carries the day. And that's enough for her to beat Trump. I don't know. We'll find out in 12 days. But boy, I tell you what, if she's an expert on law, that would have been the time for her to talk about the Supreme Court. And she whiffed on that one, too.
She whiffs on everything. And I think you brought up a good point about the TDS. I come back to a quote from RFK where he said, you know, who needs a policy when you have Trump to hate? And that's it in a nutshell.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Democrats and but I think people are getting tired of Orange Man bad, right? Because the last 4 years we've seen, you know, the price of eggs go from $1.76 a dozen to your right arm for a dozen, right?
Mm-hmm,
like you've seen you come out of the supermarkets and you feel like you're getting hit over the head with a rusty shovel. It hurts, right? And people understand money. We need it every day. We use it every day. The cost of everything has gone up. Our wages haven't kept pace with it. And they get it. So people don't want to hear, well, Donald Trump is bad. People want to hear, how are you going to fix this, right? Even if you caused it, how are you going to fix it? And you can't fix it by yelling about Donald Trump. So what? I think even the TDS aspect of everything, I don't like him, but, you know, I could have a steak a couple times a week, right?
Yeah, right. And then, you know, when you talk about the cost of living and groceries, I know she was asked about that last night. And then she starts bloviating again about, you know, the price gouging concept, which we know is not true because these grocery stores are working on like 1.5-2% margins.
Right. Right.
Can I play this? This is Tony Bruno mentioned this yesterday, Nick Hale. So this was captured on a Ring doorbell. Some unhinged woman went to the house of somebody who had a Trump sign.
Yes, and this is not my mother-in-law.
Outside of their house, rang the doorbell and asked this person why they're supporting Donald Trump.
I showed this for my wife yesterday while she was working from
home. I'll tell you what. When my wife and I finally have our home, when that comes, and hopefully it's soon.
Yeah.
I'm getting a Ring doorbell. I want this to happen because I would have answered her like Trump.
Oh.
I would have said,
could you imagine
that? I would have said, listen to me, you came to the wrong house. Okay? How could I help you? You came to the wrong, you want fries with that?
Could you like imagine this lady's reaction if she heard Trump's voice through the doorbell?
It would be amazing.
Gosh, it would have
Why don't we do this? Why don't we play this, right, and then maybe Mr. Trump can respond to it?
Yes, please do.
This is a severe case of TDS. This woman going up to a random house and yelling at them for having a Trump sign out in front of them. Cut 8, Phil, go.
Hi. I want to know how you can vote.
We can't answer the door right now, but if you'd like to leave a message, you can do it now.
Shameful. Are you the one that walks by here and always screaming at people? No, I haven't walked by recently.
Okay, because a lot of people walk by and scream.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. You are voting for the devil. Don't you know that?
No.
Why are you voting for him?
Because I believe he is the moral candidate.
Oh, my God. F*** you for that one. That's moral?
Exactly right. That's how your side acts.
Oh, my God. That's he's the most immoral person. Wow!
In your opinion,
that's
I'm sorry. Have a nice day. Have a nice day. God bless you.
God. Oh, my God.
So, now, I think that's hysterical. But let me just add, and I'll be the guy, that I'll take the stalker role and throw some cold water on this, because I said this to my wife yesterday. Is there a chance that that was planted and that was fake?
Like staged.
Because, and not to say that this wouldn't happen, because when these things happen, it's always the left flipping out because you're a Trump supporter. True case study, I don't think I've ever seen a Trump supporter flip out on a Harris or Biden or a Democrat supporter at somebody's doorbell cam. But she says, of all the things, and you know, this is not a shot at Trump, but I don't know that he's necessarily the most morally astute individual. That being said, like, you said,
I'm
voting for the moral candidate. Not because his economy was great or we had global peace or a secure border.
It's a troll.
Is that?
Okay. Trolled him.
It's a troll. But do we think that is authentic? I'll be the jerk. You can rip me on Twitter and YouTube. Almost too good to be true.
It is. But we have seen like in 2020 when I was in the supermarket with my mask on because you had to do that.
Yeah.
I had the Trump Pence mask. And I had, because I was like, if you're going to make me wear a mask,
yeah,
I'm putting Trump, you know, I'm going to wear one that says Trump Pence.
Right.
Donald Trump's campaign was selling them.
Oh, yeah.
You know? So I did that, and I kid you not, I was getting pork chops, okay? And a woman rolls her eyes at me and I said, now what is your problem?
Okay? what do you got?
It's your mask. And I said,
so?
Oh, wait, which one do I have on today?
What does it
say? It says Trump.
But I wear the one that said Taliban on it. I'm sorry, man.
I said, oh, it says Trump. I got you to say his name. I can take it off. I can take it off. You want to sort of call. No. So these people exist.
Oh, yeah.
Could that have been staged? 100%. But I am going to lean in the direction of that's an authentic interaction.
Yeah, so am I.
And answering that, yeah, I'm voting for the moral candidate is definitely ironic.
What
even though we know
reply.
He's perfect. I'm a perfect person. I've never done anything wrong. Because when you're famous, they let you do it. You know what I'm
it's
talking
true.
About?
It's true. I've heard that.
You know what I'm talking about?
That.
We do.
It's very true. I would have told her, no, I'm not voting for the devil. She ran in 2016. Her name is Crooked Hillary. Okay.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app.
On Election Day, coming up to Election Day, going into Election Day, we always hear about Maricopa County, right? In Arizona. That's Arizona, right?
That is correct, sir.
Well, they have announced. Well, let me play the audio clip. Let me play the news clip there, and then you guys can comment on it. How long it's going to take for them to tabulate their votes in Maricopa County? Cut 6, Phil. No, this is cut 5. I'm sorry. This is cut 5, Phil. Go.
Anyway, very tight races here. In fact, Maricopa County setting the stage that tabulating all these votes may not be an election night thing. It may take days.
Wow. Well, 12 News journalist Colleen Sikora explains that county leaders are asking voters for patience and to be prepared.
Tight races, high interest in the election, and a two-page ballot are leaving Maricopa County officials warning of lines on Election Day and also warning it's going to take them 10 to 13 days to tabulate results. Two pages and an average of 79 contests per ballot.
We are expecting heavy turnout this year, and so that's why we're really encouraging people to vote early.
2 weeks out from Election Day, and some votes are in.
More than 400,000 people have cast their ballot in Maricopa County.
That's out of an anticipated 2.1 million voter turnout this year.
We are seeing a little bit of a lag of where we were in 2020, but the last few days we've actually seen an uptick in turnout. So I am expecting that we will start approaching very close to those 2020 numbers.
What can impact the amount of results released and when? Early ballots dropped off on Election Day.
Our races will be close.
And on Election Day, lines are expected, even with an increase in vote centers and voting booths at those vote centers.
If you're going to vote on Election Day, vote in person and use that on-site tabulator so that those votes will be tabulated on that evening as opposed to dropping off your early ballot on Election Day.
The county adding more high-speed tabulators, more election workers.
We're increasing staffing at our ballot processing as well because, again, we're handling double the number of the sheets of paper. And so we are looking to both have extra shifts, night shifts, if necessary, in ballot processing, and then in the next step that takes place in election administration, and that's through tabulation.
But tabulation expected to take time.
We do expect that it will take between 10 and 13 days to complete tabulation.
All right, so in the words of Republican Senator John Kennedy from Louisiana.
Help me understand this.
So Maricopa County has a population of 4.4 million people. By my research last night, because I saw this clip last night, it is the fourth biggest county in the country.
It's so, like Phoenix, right?
It's mm-hmm. a massive county. But they have a population countywide, 4.4 million people. They're going to need a week and a half to 2 weeks to count. Yet Florida... The state of Florida exactly. has 24 million people. They have six times the population, and they will wrap up their tabulations by about 9 or 10 o'clock.
And two time zones.
On election night. And two time zones. And, Sean, I think there's countries that wrap up in 24 hours. Forget states. Countries that can do it quicker than counties.
Taiwan is doing it.
Taiwan!
Yeah.
It is. Maybe that's where our tax dollars are going. So there are, elections going to be counted on the same night. It is. Have they ever heard? I need to ask Maricopa County. Have you ever heard of the show Sesame Street? Okay? I got along very well with Big Bird. I got along very well with the count. You know the count?
The count.
I taught him how to count. Two votes. Three beautiful votes. Seriously. Okay? It isn't hard to count, all right? Like, the fact that they're saying that it's going to take 10 to 13 days, they could speed it up. And everybody has known that Maricopa County forever has been the most corrupt, most ridiculous, most disastrous county in the country every time there's an election being held, whether it's a primary, a midterm, a presidential election. School boards in Maricopa County, they probably have no idea who won. Like, they're notorious for that, okay? You would think the public pressure would force them to fix it. The only reason they're not fixing it is because they don't want to fix it, okay? It is, if you look at this and chalk it up to just sheer incompetence at this point, there is no hope for you going forward. None. None whatsoever if you think this is an innocent mistake. Where people have identified that Maricopa County, every single time we do an election, has problems. And now they're telling you that a county of 4 million people, and all of them aren't going to vote, so maybe 2 million of them will vote, can't get those votes in before states like Texas, mm-hmm. states like Florida, with much larger populations, multiple time zones, but Maricopa County can't do it? They can do it. They don't want to do it. That's the point.
You know what's amazing, Dawn, is you have Laura Trump who said, we need 100,000 poll watchers this election. She's actually received 200,000. It's like United Tire, right? With the manufacturer rebate, instead of 100, you get 200, right? How about that? So 200,000 people. Here's what you do, Laura Trump. Take 60,000 of them and stuff them in Maricopa County. They say, I just need you to keep your eyes on everything for the next 2 weeks. You've been reassigned to Maricopa. This is what? I don't even know if I can say it. What a slapdick county.
It is.
Well,
it's a dumb button. I don't know if that's
Pennsylvania,
a violation.
It's fine. Some of them, the goal is 500,000 that they would get. I mean, they've already gotten. I'm just getting a text from somebody. The last they heard, they've already knocked on 270,000 doors. Their target is 500,000 doors. They're just trying to knock on doors. They're trying to get more volunteers. They need the help. So if you can, please go to, you know, protectthevote.com, swampthevote.com, Trump Force 47. But they're looking for more volunteers.
Let's talk about how close the race is, because I think, do we all, Sean, I know where Nick and Dawn stand, but are you under the assumption that this is going to be a close race, or do you not think it's going to be a close race?
I think it's going to be close. The trends are telling us that maybe it's not as close as we originally thought, but I don't like thinking that way. I want to say, you know what? It's going to come down to one vote, so everybody go out there and do it. You treat this election, especially right here in Pennsylvania, as if you are the deciding vote. Amen. You have mm-hmm. to get it
Amen.
Done.
Amen.
Okay? Early, in person, that's what I would prefer people do, because, you know, there is no, I'll just vote on November 6th, right? Like, there is no tomorrow. If you screw up, something happens on on November 5th. I mean, I love the weather, right? There's a hurricane potentially, again, going to bear down on Florida around election time, okay? Gosh. So, and it's not set in stone. It's obviously, you know, we're 13 days out, but or 12 days out. But you don't know what may go wrong on election day. Act as if you are the deciding vote. Don't even act it. Believe you're the deciding vote and get your vote in before that anything can go wrong.
Please.
Well, to that point, Sean, Harry Enten, who we play here. I mean, like, look, he's a CNN data analyst.
Holy cow. Yeah,
take it for what it's worth. But he thinks that the so-called Democrat panic is quite overblown because this race is so close. Cut nine. Phil, go.
No, it's one of these funny things. Depending on which week, I get different friends from different sides of the aisle coming back to me. One week it's the Republicans worrying. This week it was the Democrats that were worrying. But then you look at polling like that, and then we take a look at the race to 270. And I should point out, the race to 270, the path to 270 for Kamala Harris is very clear right now. You know, you talk about Wisconsin. Let's turn that blue. All right, that gets Harris to 236 electoral votes. How about Michigan? We'll give her blue there. 251 electoral votes. How about Pennsylvania? Look at this. To 270 electoral votes, if those Washington Post polls are in fact correct, and so she has a very clear path to 270 electoral votes. Of course, Aaron, I don't just like looking at one poll. I like to look at an aggregate of polling. So let's take a look at the recent aggregate of polls in these blue wall states. Now, what do we see? We see very close contests. It's actually closer than the Washington Post polls. But again, less than a point lead for Harris in Wisconsin, less than a point lead in Michigan, less than a point lead in Pennsylvania. But the bottom line is Kamala Harris, based upon these polling data, both from the Washington Post and in the averages, has a very clear path at this particular point, just based upon those states, to 270 electoral votes. The bottom line is, I don't understand the Democratic panic right now, because the path is clear.
It's clear, and just to make it very clear for people, that would mean she doesn't need to win any of those other states you have there, which includes North Carolina, Nevada, Arizona, Georgia. I mean, that's just to put an emphasis on it. But North Carolina is must-win for Trump in any path he has to 270, I know. You got early voting in North Carolina that has started, also in Georgia. And it has shattered records in both places. In Georgia, though, what is the number now, Harry? More than 1.5 million?
1.5 million, yeah.
Okay. And I had seen somewhere that you know, it's double-digit percentage point, double-digit of, you know, who voted before. It could be 13% or so already of the electorate. I mean, those numbers are pretty stunning. So what are you looking for in Georgia?
Yeah, what am I looking for in these states? I mean, look, I think we're going to have a very close race in Georgia. Look at this. We got a point lead in the polls there for Donald Trump, well within the margin of error, less than a point in North Carolina, 2-point lead for Donald Trump, again, well within the margin of error in Arizona, less than a point lead for Kamala Harris in Nevada. So, you know, even if we gave, you know, Donald Trump, say, Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, you can still, in fact, get Kamala Harris to 270 by giving her North Carolina, Georgia, Arizona, and Nevada. So, again, I don't understand this Democratic panic, Barry.
Well, there's no chance that Trump would win Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan, and then lose the southern states. That would be upside down world.
Yeah.
So I mentioned what it looks like if you don't get Pennsylvania. So let me give you the scenario for both. If Kamala Harris wins Pennsylvania, Trump's likeliest path to victory appears to be taking Arizona, Georgia, North Carolina, and Michigan. Should Trump win Pennsylvania, Harris's likeliest path to the White House seems to be Wisconsin, Michigan, Nevada, and then either Georgia or North Carolina. I will go on record and say this. I think this is going to be one of those years where we buck the trend historically. We've been told that Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, they typically all fall in line. My gut feeling right now is that it will not be a clean sweep for either one of them. I could see Trump winning PA but losing Michigan or Wisconsin, or I could see Harris winning Michigan and then not getting Pennsylvania or Wisconsin.
Yeah, or maybe Trump wins Arizona, doesn't win Nevada or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
There are multiple paths all over the place. For Harry Enten to come out and say he doesn't know why they're panicking, well, they're panicking because it's close. If I was a Democrat and I had all the mainstream media, all the print publication mainstream media, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube in my corner, and it's a tight race, and you know that Donald Trump historically has overperformed the polling, right? In 2016, it was a 9-point overperformance, a 9-point miss on behalf of the polls in favor of Donald Trump after the fact. In 2020, it was a 5-point miss. So you figure it reduces that, you know, the miss reduced by half. Well, if it happens again and it's a 2.5-point miss, you're looking at blowouts in Pennsylvania and, mm-hmm. and Michigan and Wisconsin, where Maricopa County and their shenanigans are irrelevant, because all Donald Trump has to do to hit 270, he's got to win the 2020 states that he won. Okay, I got my map up. He's got to win the 2020 states that he won. All he's got to flip Georgia, hold on to North Carolina, and win Pennsylvania. That's 270. Okay, not including Michigan or Wisconsin at all. Not including maybe any rare flips that you might see. I happen to think there's a chance in Virginia. There may be a chance in Minnesota. I'm not saying he should spend time there, but you know, if one of those states, you talk about bucking the trend. If Virginia comes off the board for the Democrats, mm-hmm. if Minnesota with Tim Walz comes off the board for the Democrats, things get really crazy. So why are they panicking? Because it's close and they have spent $1 billion. I'd be panicking too if I spent $1 billion and I wasn't in the lead.
Yeah, they've spent them 2-1, $1.1 billion to $640 million since July 21st.
Yeah.
All right, we'll come back. We'll get to your voicemails today in music history and what's on tap for the Dawn Show coming up at the top of the hour as that wraps up a 2-hour edition of What's on the Cut Sheet. We might be on to something, or we might be on something.
Yeah.
Back after this.
When it comes to your home, trust is everything, right? For 45 years, Kitchen Magic has built such a reputation for transforming kitchens with precision and care. From custom cabinets to the countertops, what about the all-important backsplash to those storage solutions? They get the job done and fast. In just a few days, your dream kitchen becomes a reality without the hassle. Trust the name your neighbors have been relying on for years now, for decades, Kitchen Magic. Get your free in-home consultation, kitchenmagic.com. Get this on the calendar, kitchenmagic.com. Let's cook up something extraordinary. Kitchenmagic.com. Tell them Dawn sent you.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
People that are going, that aren't going, that are trying to scalp their tickets in the chat.
Scalping their
tickets. It's like Super Bowl tickets.
Yeah. They'll be selling them
on the street corner.
I have people like texting me, hey, buddy, can you get me in? It's like, buddy?
Yeah.
Like, no.
Yeah, they're going for $100 on StubHub right now.
Ass, grass, or gas. Nobody rides for free, right?
You're damn right.
Thank you.
There we go. All right, 9:51. Let's find out what occurred today in music history.
What happened on this day in music history? Music history. On Kale and Company.
Today, October 24th. We celebrate the birthdays of Ben Gillies from Silverchair, who's 45, and Bill Wyman from The Stones, who's now 88. Heavenly birthday shout out to Dale Griffin from Not the Hoople. We also lost Fats Domino on this day in 2017. And Steve Riley from Wasp, Keel, and LA Guns a year ago today. Singles include Hurricane by Bob Dylan in 75. Blind in Texas by Wasp in 85. Say It Isn't So by Hall & Oates, and I guess that's why they call it the blues by Elton in 83. Also, Burning Sun by Helloween came out on this day in 2017. I gotta get my medal in. Album The Coup, The Hell with the Devil by Stryper in 86. Hybrid Theory by Linkin Park in 2000. American Pie by Bob McLean in 71. Siren by Roxy Music in 75. And Resident Alien by Space Hog in 95. Also in 93, John Lennon began litigation against the U.S. government, accusing them of tapping his phone. In 62, James Brown recorded his famous Live at the Apollo album. In 87, MJ was atop the singles chart with Bad. And in 88, the John Fogerty trail began, where he was accused of plagiarizing himself by using segments of the CCR song Run Through the Jungle for his solo hit, The Old Man Down the Road. But lastly, and I teased this off the air, since we've actually been talking about Maricopa County a little bit in Arizona not being able to count their votes for 10 to 13 days after the election, well, I have an idea how to make sure it's done on time, because I'm actually going to be in Maricopa County the weekend after the election. I'm willing to stand outside where the county is being done with a boombox, like John Cusack did, and Say Anything, blasting Sepultura's version of Tainted Love on loop. That's going to make sure they get it done on time for Kale Company. I'm Phil Aquin.
Might be the best edition yet.
We
great
love
work.
It.
Unbelievable. What are you doing? What do you got? Jets Cardinals game?
Yes, I do.
God.
Yeah.
Yeah, take Ferris.
Yes. Oh, my God.
He goes to every Jets game.
I know. He's dedicated.
It's like Woody, Woody Johnson, the owner.
He's dedicated.
All right. Let's see what's on tap for the Dawn Show, 7 minutes out.
So we'll tell you, what is Vivek Ramaswamy doing at local college campuses and across the country?
Uh-oh.
And as well, the Get Out the Vote. Women, moms from the burbs will have the conversations about activated moms, especially post-pandemic. We have a full lineup, a lot of breaking news locally, nationally. We'll get to it. We're getting busy coming up on the Dawn Show.
Right.
By the way, guys, the YouTube chat wants to know if Sean is going to try a cheesesteak while he's in town.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. We'll have to see, you know. I happen to think the Philly cheesesteak was something that happened on accident.
Uh-oh.
You know, they just happened to, oops, we dropped the cheese on it, and they were trying to make grilled cheese and accidentally put a steak on it. Something happened. I don't know.
He sounds like he was close to going to Trump there, but he stayed in his own personal character.
Yeah. You know, we don't want anybody to think Trump is insulting Pennsylvania. Let it be me.
Somebody show up tomorrow at the South Jersey FOP Lodge 56 with a cheesesteak for Sean.
And crab fries.
And crab fries.
There you go. The great mock debate is coming up tomorrow. Dawn is coming up next. Woo! Activated moms. And for all of the unactivated dads right now, we will leave you with this message before we see you tomorrow at 6 a.m.
Harry, get your fat ass out of the couch. You're going to vote for Trump today, Harry.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.